Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There is no better group of ones for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with your gardening quandaries. Christmas is just over a month away. And as I always like to do at this time of year, I call up Andy Bunker from Alton's Garden Centre, an expert on the field of festive foliage, for advice on Christmas trees. My thanks to Gardening Direct, sponsors of this podcast. After a very busy week, last week, spending too much time travelling really and getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning doesn't really suit these old bones very much, so I really appreciated a weekend in the back garden just clearing up the debris from the last summer. We'd had a sharp frost which made decisions for me as far as the dahlias, the runner beans and the begonias were concerned. Oh, and those big begonias that are bred by Bonari in Germany, they've been remarkable. They're still flowering and they stood several degrees of frost. I've lifted several, potted them up and brought them indoors. Very good chance that they'll flower if I keep them in a nice light position right the way through the winter, and who knows, we may plant them out again next summer. What's new? Well, the government is encouraging again the planting of trees with a £50 million scheme to help boost tree planting in England to meet climate change goals. The Woodland Carbon Guarantee provides farmers and landowners with long-term income if they invest in carbon sequestration by planting trees. Has to be a good thing, doesn't it? I mean, the government has already committed to plant 11 million trees by 2022. Every one of us too can help if we've got a little plot of land somewhere, even if it's the local school or playground. Get a tree planted. Perfect time of year to be doing it. They'll get nicely rooted out while the soil's warm, and away they'll go next spring. The winter garden at Anglesey Abbey is going to receive a major renewal to its winter colour and scent planting. The winter garden there really is stunning. Got some really beautiful groups of birch, and of course all underplanted with winter aconites and snowdrops, and plenty of fragrant winter flowering shrubs. It was originally planted in 1998 and opened by the former House of Commons Speaker Betty Boothroyd, and now Head Gardener David Jordan is livening up several of what were densely planted areas. You know, we tend to do that. You've got a big bare patch of ground, you want to cover it quickly and have impact, and so we plant almost too close. And then of course when they intergrow, there comes a time when we have to bite the bullet and thin them out. Anglesey Abbey, it's a great place to see snowdrops. They've got that enormous snowdrop collection. And I understand in the refreshing of their winter garden, there's going to be more planting of the honey-scented snowdrop, Galanthus magnate. What about our home gardens? Well, as the garden centres go balmy for Christmas, they need a space for all of those their Christmas wares. And very often you can find a good bulb buy. You know, they'll cut the price quite often. And so if you're looking at cut price bulbs, go for the big ones. If it's tulips, narcissus and even hyacinths, they can be planted you know, for the rest of the month very successfully and can give you a very good deal. At home, I've got just a short row of autumn fruiting raspberries, and the canes, well, they must be 8 feet high and blowing about in the wind. I'm still picking the occasional fruit, but once they've finished fruiting, don't do as some people recommend and cut the canes right out. Just remove the fruited bit, and the lower part of the cane will fruit again next June, July, and then you can cut that out once it's finished fruited, and the new canes will, of course, fruit from September onwards. The summer fruiting canes, I've just got a very few of those too, where they're 6 to 8 feet high, they'll need tying quite securely to horizontal wires, and I like to bend the top over in a semicircle and tie that into the wire. It means it brings all of the cane down to a reasonable picking height, and again, reduces the wind rock and the wind resistance.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I suppose I'm not the greatest enthusiast for garden centres rushing into the Christmas decoration. I'm afraid the old school, and remember too well, I suppose, offloading Christmas trees in the cold and the wet in the days when we didn't have netted tunnels to make the handling so much easier. But today, I'm pleased to welcome Andy Bunker onto the scene, who will put me right, I'm sure, about Christmas trees. And if I need to know anything about what's happening in the Christmas tree trade, then Andy's my first port of call, not only buying for himself, but also for a number of independent garden centres. Andy, how are things in Basildon at Alton Garden Centre this morning?
Yeah, they're okay. I think the weather's been so up and down. I mean, we sort of seem to have gone from autumn to winter in the space of a week, and then back again, really.
Yeah.
It's cold, and I think, being ruthless as a retailer, we want the cold to kill off the summer bedding so they can get into cyclamen, pansy and viola before it's too late.
Well, I understand that the bedding plant growers are really disappointed with sales this autumn because the summer stuff has gone on so long.
Yeah, I think it is. It's certainly becoming more resilient. I was over, funny enough, looking at some crops the other day in Ireland, and I was at a lovely hotel, and the begonias were bold as brass there, and they certainly wouldn't be taking those out of their baskets and planters for another couple of weeks, I wouldn't think.
And it's the same with me. You know, the begonias we've got up at Hyde Hall, particularly the fibrous-rooted ones, things yep. like big, yep. I mean, they're just absolutely full of colour. I thought the frost yep. that we had on Sunday night, Monday morning, I thought that might have seen an end to them, but it wasn't cold enough in my garden.
No. I think, it's surprising at the moment. You know, here we are sort of knocking on November and certainly don't need to do anything yet.
You're the master of Christmas, if I can put it that way. And looking at a recent video, you seem to have been all over the place looking at Christmas trees. Now, what's the situation for the coming season? Is there a good crop?
Yeah. I mean, the important thing for me, I mean, obviously, it's very difficult for me because as a retailer, you know, in an ideal world I'd like of real Christmas trees, I'd like to say, you know, don't buy artificial, buy real. But of course, real artificial Christmas trees is a huge part of our business. And like everything in life, they've got a place in the market. But obviously what I'm trying to do is to make sure that our customers get the best of both or have the choice of both. Predominantly, I think my part has been over the last 4 or 5 years working closely with the growers is to just improve the quality of a real tree. So the argument is, for example, the leader control, which is an important part of the tree. You know, people's perception is, well, I've got 30 centimetres with nothing on that I'm paying a lot of money for, type of thing. So we're constantly looking, you know, at leader control, which is an input. But, of course, you're up against nature. You know, just when you get it right, the birds come along. And I've seen every type of bird scarer that you can imagine over the last 20, 30 years to stop the birds pecking them. But, you know, the trees are definitely getting better. There's no doubt about it. You know, growing something that you're going to harvest in 8 to 10 years' time, then, you know, you don't want to be harvesting something that's poor. So you put the effort in and you get the return on your capital, you know.
Well, I'm surprised how much trimming is done these days. I saw it, first of all, I suppose, in about 1976 in the States, where they were using a machete to sort of shape up the lower branches and make them more bushy. But the UK producers are getting much more sophisticated than that now, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I mean, you know, I've seen over my years, yes, I've certainly seen a machete out, but majority of pruning, certainly in, you know, our trees coming from the UK, Scotland predominantly, I mean, they're still pruning with secateurs. You know, they're getting that much accuracy. Something very interesting they sort of stumbled upon. I mean, one of the Christmas trees, which we'll probably come onto in a minute, is Fraser fir. And they've literally found the only downside with Fraser is that you have to prune them quite late to get the shape. And the negative is you see like a pruning wound. But they've come across a way of pruning where they literally turn the shears the other way round. So the actual prune is downwards rather than upwards. So the actual wound is less prevalent. You know, very interesting.
It's amazing. There's attention to detail increasingly in horticulture. You know, it really is becoming a very fine art, isn't it, to maintain top quality. Well, for everything, pretty well. I suppose the most popular tree today is Nordman, Norway sort of drop needles.
Norway still sell. There's still a demand. Again, I've done some work in Europe for various different growers, and Belgium, for example, is still a strong market. And we do have some, as you know, we're part of the Tillington Group, and we've still got some of our members that do a reasonable amount of Norway. I tried some large ones again about 3 years ago, but just didn't work. And you know, it's still the sort of hoovering the carpet in April, you know, is not really, you know, generally this day and age the done thing or the right thing, you know. So Nordman's are definitely, you know, that the best seller. I mean, the only thing that Nordman haven't got is the scent, but if you offset that against the lovely British racing green color and the developments on the trees to produce what the customer wants, I think is really important.
Yes, because even the Norways, you've got the scent when you bring them in for the first day or so, but it very quickly goes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I think, you know, the difficult thing, of course, with Christmas trees is that in an ideal world, you want it, like we have now, nice and cold, and it's always colder in Scotland where the majority of harvest, but of course then, if it's really cold outside, then Mr. and Mrs. Smith have got their heating on at 95 degrees, so it accelerates the actual needle drop. And then, in turn, if it's mild, then when they're harvested, the things are still, to a certain extent, still growing. So it's quite a difficult process with trees. But, you know, the Normans, there's no doubt about it, the Normans are generally pretty good, providing you don't bring it inside. Your rule of thumb is 4 weeks. And I've always, you know, really sort of said to customers, and try and keep to that. Do not bring it indoors on the 25th, 26th of November, because you're going to be looking at something that's bald on Christmas Day.
Well, I'm afraid I'm one of those who doesn't do much about Christmas until Christmas Eve. So, and I have a Norway, which was grown from a seedling. Now you do something with Father Christmas and seedlings, don't you?
Yeah, we've done a little seedling giveaway Christmas tree to the children in the grotto now for many, many years. And for me, it's great for customers. It's very earthy. And in fact, the interesting thing is it's not just a tree that's chopped out the ground, and it is actually a living seedling, which actually is supplied to the growers of Norway's as well. So it is actually, you know, a Norway spruce, or Picea abies, and it does grow. You know, we've got people that are coming in, some of them third generation, where they, and in all seriousness, that the Norway is taller than their house. But it's great. It's good for the kids, and I know you're one of the top ones that, you know, promoting gardening to children, and I think it's almost an extension of grow your own. You know, the little children have had their tree and they look after it, and, you know, we've had people naming them. You know, it's, they've got their little tree, and it really is good, and I'm really pleased that we've kept it on. You know, we will put 8,000 or 9,000 children through our grotto. So they get their free tree, and they really do grow.
I mean, you're not the only one. Bay Tree up in Lincolnshire, I think. Reinhardt, he does the same, doesn't he? Father Christmas in two places, giving away Christmas tree seedlings. Yeah.
Yeah, there's quite a few people do it now, and it's great. You know, they get the little present, and, you know, it really is nice to see the children walking out with a small seedling tree. And, yes, there is quite a few people doing it now. I know, again, one of our other members, Ruxley Manor in Kent, they do it every other year, and they run a huge grotto, a lot bigger than ours. But it's lovely to see children coming out with a living product, you know, as you would love it, you know.
Yeah, well, if anybody out there listening has had one of your seedlings and there's a photograph of their children, I think they need to do that, don't you think? Every year, if you plant it the first Christmas, it's just a few inches high, and they'd be, 2 foot, I suppose, as a youngster. And then the tree eventually outgrows them.
Yeah, I mean, the important thing is, and you know, is, as you say, we actually give away a little simple care leaflet with it, you know, when to water, how to grow it, you know, and, you know, with Christmas trees, I mean, that's why so many are sold, is that, you know, there's no rhyme or reason. We've not got sort of Lincolnshire soil in our neck of the woods. So, you know, to grow in Essex clay, you've done a pretty good job. So, you know, we say follow the care instructions, and, you know, yeah, as I said, we've got a lot of success on, which I'm really pleased about.
And to come back then to the traditional trees that people are buying to take indoors, I'd like you to explain a bit what's happening to make trees much narrower at the base.
Well, if you look at what we're trying to develop, I mean, traditionally with Christmas trees, the request is obviously scent, shape and colour. Now, there's still a certain demand for blue spruce, although they don't last indoors that well, but they've got the colour. But the biggest issue is size. You know, if you look at traditionally a 7 foot tree tall, or let's say 2.1 metres in new money, you know, that would not fit in the average house, because it being 2.1 metres tall, it's going to often be 1.4, 1.5, even 1.6 plus wide. So what they've done over the years is we've had the Fraser fir, which is great because it's narrow and it's scented. But what we've developed now, and I've been working with some of my growers on it for a few years, is a tree called a slim shape, which actually is exactly as they say what it says on the tin. It's a narrower tree, slim spelt S-L-Y-M shape, and it's been pruned. These Nordmans will grow reasonably quick, so they actually, what they will do is they will develop the tree, and they'll look in the field, and they will develop the tree from around 2 to 3 years prior to harvesting into a narrow shape. And ultimately, what that means is that you're getting a 7 foot tree on the footprint of a 5 foot tree, which is ultimately what people want. You know, if you look, dare I say it, at the artificial trees, some of the varieties would have 15 different options, you know, narrow, slim, super slim, you know, half tree. So, you know, combating them, we've now got something where you can put something in your house at 2.1 metres, 7 foot, that's going to fit next to the television, and you haven't got to move the three-piece suite out. You know?
I know that situation. I mean, will we actually see that brand? If we go onto a garden centre, will we see the label slim shape?
Yes, you will see. Yeah, you will see slim shape. It will be promoted as a slim shape because it is something a little bit different. You know, it certainly is going to be, you know, a good 60 centimetres narrower when you start getting to the 1.8 to 10, as I say, and the 6 to 7 foot. Again, sorry, I'm still working old money. But yes, you will see them, as I said. Slim shape is a variety. I mean, there are going to be obviously quite a few producers doing it, but, you know, I deal with one of the biggest growers in Europe, and we've been working on this for a couple of years, and they've actually, in a roundabout way, registered the name Slim Shape just to distinguish that it is a specific brand and a specific tree that, no, they haven't just chopped it or butchered it in April to harvest it. They've actually, over a period of 2 to 3 years, you know, gone, right, okay, that particular batch of trees are going to be perfect for a Slim Shape, and then harvested them as a Slim Shape tree.
I saw an example of it at the Four Oaks trade show up in Cheshire earlier this year, and they look to be not only narrow at the base, but much bushier. I mean, they were perfect cone-shaped. I suppose the grower would put at an exhibition the best he had, but they were remarkably well-shaped.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know yourself, at the end of the day, you know, the natural habit, as soon as you prune something, it fills out. You know, if you've got, dare I say, the Lalandi, you know, you take 2 foot off the top of a Lalandi conifer, it will thicken out. Yeah. And to a certain extent, Christmas tree being a conifer, you know, you've actually, you know, because what they do is they do a process often, as well as secondism, called bud nibbling, which, again, is exactly what it says. They nibble the ends of the branch, and in turn, that will send out almost like a finger or a hand of another 5 mini branches, which gives you the density. And when you look at a tree closely, as you know, I'm quite passionate about it, when you look at a tree quite closely, you will see at the end where it's been nibbled, that is actually then you've got another sort of 30% density. So consequently, if we're doing a narrower tree, we've got a lot more density, which is really what customers want.
I hadn't come across that term before, bud nibbling. I mean, they just rub the lead bud out.
Yep. Well, that's a first for me, Peter, because there's not many things you don't know.
There is. I tell you, I'm learning every day.
Yeah.
I went to Japan, and there they're shaping pines, of course, for Japanese gardens. And when the young candles grow, they have a piece of bamboo with a notch cut in the end, and they slip that sort of U-shaped notch over the candle and just break it off. Yeah. But bud nibbling, just rubbing the bud out, I can see that would make a much better branching from a Christmas tree point of view.
Again, yeah, this is the difference, and dare I say, you know, we have some, if not, and the difficulty is that, you know, not knocking my competition, but sometimes a Nordman's a Nordman's a Nordman. Well, it's not. You know, if you look closely at the density of these trees, you can actually clearly see when a tree's been, you know, looked after and cared for, and as I said, bud nibbled, which just gives it that nice density. Not everybody does it. And, you know, I think the secateurs have taken the place a little bit. But if you want that, certainly lower down, you know, your bud nibbling, you've just got a nice all-round tree.
I was interested too to hear you say that with the secateurs you cut on the slant. I must have a look at that. I can see the way that would work too, because if you cut it square, then the cut faces you, doesn't it? Whereas if you do cut at a low angle, then that cut will be hidden.
That's right. Well, this is the downside. Fraser, which is I wouldn't say it's my favourite, but Fraser, we love Fraser here because it is naturally a narrow tree. It's got beautiful lemon scent, and we promote it as free potpourri. And it is literally that. You grab a handful, and it's a lovely lemon scent. But, you know, because it's naturally a little bit slower growing, you know, they would need to prune that back in March, April, normally, subject to the weather, of course. But, of course, the wound, as we would call it, has not got enough time to heal. So you're harvesting 3 or 4 months later, and it's still a little bit white. But, as I said, now with the shears being turned the other way around, it's actually, if you like, a 45-degree angle downwards, not upwards, if you can imagine that. And it's quite interesting.
And finally, you mentioned already the colour. If you were going to buy a Christmas decoration in the form of evergreen to go in the garden, you'd be better to look for a pot-grown blue spruce, wouldn't you?
Yes. We have good success. I think the problem generally is that, you know, I say to people, you know, don't buy anything too big. You know, if you buy something, you know, 60 centimetres, a maximum of 80 or 2, 2.5 foot, as I say, you know, yeah, blue spruce, we have good success. But having said that, we carried over quite a few Norbans this year and they've worked well. But I do think the hardest one to keep, ironically enough, because again, you would know that the big taproot is a Norway, which contradicts slightly the seedling tree, but, you know, with such a big taproot on Norway spruce, they are the hardest one to keep, you know, bring it indoors for a couple of weeks and then put it outside. But then the northern and the blue spruce, I mean, there's a lovely variety around there called Super Blue, which is that lovely steely blue colour, which has been developed over the last 4 or 5 years. It really is a lovely blue colour. And we've had good success with those, you know.
Andy, thank you very much for joining us today. Lots more detail. Couldn't believe, really, that I've been in the Christmas tree business, what, for 60 or 70 years, and you're still teaching me what's going on.
Very good.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Peter.
My tailpiece this week is a bit of an inquiry, really. My sister tells me that she was suffering with rheumatism in her hands and was out in the garden trying to plant some bulbs and got her hands really badly stung by stinging nettles. So much so, apparently, that they were really sore for 2 days. And her rheumatism went. So she hasn't had any problem with rheumatism in her hands since. And she tells me that it's a well-known fact that a good stinging by stinging nettles can cure arthritis and rheumatism. I wonder if there are other people out there who've had the nerve to put their limbs in amongst the nettles and found a remarkable cure for either rheumatism or arthritis. My thanks to Gardening Direct, sponsors of this podcast. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.